This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
And we get like, just roll like five bad dice and just be like, he's garbage, you know, yeah, like, into the box with you.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, by after the first match, we'll see Evan crying in the corner.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper podcast. In this series, we talk about Star Wars Legion. I'm going to go ahead and skip our usual intro because we have something very special today. We're actually doing what we're calling the Jedi Council. It's going to be a roundtable. We're going to be talking Legion and other games. So we'll get to introducing the team here. You know Nick and myself. I'm Jay. We have Evan Bulris. Evan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. Evan's been on before. If you listen to our Nova cast, you were on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell the folks at home a little bit about your gaming background?
I play primarily a ton of X-Wing. I run a Radical Squadron group out of that. I also do Legion, Bolt Action, 40K, Magic, you name a game, I've probably bought into it at least once and been sitting on a shelf now quite nicely unused.
Yeah, I made the point today that Evan's like the drug dealer for games.
Trying.
He always has a new game.
Hey, can you hear the new Shadespire came out yesterday? You want some Shadespire?
Yeah, so I used to be like that, and then I stopped caring.
That's true. I'm so desperate to find anybody just to play anything with me. I'm like, look, Uno. Competitive Uno, you want to do that?
You guys like Monopoly?
You like some Warhammer Monopoly?
And then we have with us Jeremy Appleton. Jeremy, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about games you're into.
Hi, my name is Jeremy. I played Magic since about 94. I was in the Navy, played as a Naval Champion in 2000 and 2001. And I've Kickstarted since I got out of the Navy about 250 Kickstarter games, and I've got a collection with my family of about 300 to 400 board games we play on a regular basis.
That is not a joke. He has a ton of games and Magic cards, too. Tons.
Where do you keep them? I've been to your house. I have not seen that many games.
Oh, you haven't seen the racks? It was behind the dining room table when we had Thanksgiving dinner. The whole wall was just games.
That's not 300, though.
He's got another wall.
Yeah.
And he's got them over.
Plus, you have all the little games account, like the little pocket games for Kickstarter.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, but yeah, there's a...
Well, games hidden within games, understood.
You pull open the mousetrap and it opens up the doors behind it, right?
Like. Well, it's like the other games, like Green Horde and Mass Moria, where you have like six different versions of the game that are all in one because you've got all the expansions to the game that come out. And,
yeah, he's got all kinds of trap doors. It's weird. You know, you like open drawers, it's just stacked with games where the forks are supposed to go.
Just like when I moved you, you know, I can stack everything so hidden and neatly perfect.
So I guess we'll open it up. I'm going to, you know, for the whole cast today, we're just going to leave it open to any discussion. I'd like to start with Legion. Any hot topics anybody wants to start with? Silence.
No, no, I've been playing the same list 3 weeks in a row because I keep forgetting to change it.
Okay, so we have a tournament. Evan and Nick and I are going to be going to a tournament in Buffalo, New York this Saturday. So, you know, with that in mind, are you taking Han out for Leia, or what are you going to do with that?
It's a really good question. I've not thought about that. I should probably get on that.
Han is
possibly annoying.
You know, that's a tough choice between the two because Leia supports your troops way more. Han doesn't really care. Right about your like troop guys, but he's really good at picking off onesies.
Yeah,
he rolls two red.
He's good at picking out troops in the open.
Yeah,
he's a sharpshooter one.
Okay,
and he only rolls two red dice, so it's just like it's one of those things where he like if he catches somebody out in the open, he does awesome. Especially if he catches two when he gets to pull off his gunslinger. But other than that, he's not great. I will probably be pulling him out. I've been talking about pulling him out.
So you think you're going back to Wonder Twins with maybe the snipers? With the
commandos?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even though against my game against Jeremy, like Luke and Han were going to just tear some things up. They were just going to get in the middle and they were just going to wreck some things.
Yeah.
We didn't get that far.
Oh, that didn't go. Okay. What about you, Evan? What are you looking at for your list for Saturday?
I'm actually going to run all three of the current, the two commanders. So Veers, Vader, and then I'm going to put Boba Fett in there. I'm actually really excited because my command hand is just, you have no idea what I have, right? So I'm running, I think it's like maximum firepower, ambush.
Well, don't tell
me. No, I'm saying it right now. But I mean, like,
listening.
This is the, this is the customizability you have when you have all that. Because normally when you just run one, you just like take all three of his and you take the three generics and you take standing orders. You're like, well, all right. But now like you can, when you have them all, like just taking maximum firepower for Veers. Rest of the cards, like, I'm not using vehicles, so I'm just throwing those out. And then, like, the neutral cards, I think, are really powerful.
Yep.
Being able to like ambush, like that's two like one activations, but because you've got every one of those command ranges, you don't need to worry about that extending your command range to four. Because if you're not in a bubble, then they're probably dead, right? Like it's
yeah. And I felt like, you know, for a while I was just playing Vader, and I recently added Veers in, and that's the list I'll be running this Saturday is Vader, Veers, and then a bunch of troopers. Man, it really gave me so many more openings as far as command hand goes that I was really, really missing out on with just Vader.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's crazy. And I'm doing the same thing. It's a mix, you know, I'm mixing between the three. So I have the generic commander, you know, command cards, and then I have Veers and Vader cards in there. And it's nice. I like the options for sure, you know.
I started backtracking, and I'm started putting the generics in more and more. Like I took out Orb Bombardment for the one pip, the ambush, because it does more through the game. Where the Orb Bombardment and maximum firepower, you kind of have to use the first turn, depending on which battlefield you're on. If you're not on Long March, you kind of have to use it.
Yeah, and you know, somebody brought that up in the comments because they heard us talking about that, and I explained to them that, you know, they said they used it on turn five, and I was like, that's great, like congratulations, but that hardly ever happens where you can get someone four beyond for that card.
At least to tickle
off effectively. Yeah.
With snipers, you can probably do it. Like now that snipers in the game, they're always staying in the back. They're usually going to be at range four, but that's not a lot of options still. That just gives you an option on turn four if you have to use it.
Yeah, it's true. And it's tough, right? Because I think I can see some of the, you know, some of the tactics for holding it, but I think I'm the same with you. Like I've been playing maximum firepower and I want to use it turn one.
You want to make sure you can get it off.
Yeah.
That's the only turn where it's like guaranteed to be able to hit anything you want. Cause as the game progresses, troops get closer and it cuts out your options of who you can hit with it.
Yeah. And I think it gives you two, like, just some, a deterrent, you know, at least if there's somebody that's big and bad that, you know, is going to mess up at least what you're trying to do, your tactics during one and two, maybe you can hopefully get rid of them, but you know, at the minimum, you can at least get them suppressed down so you don't have to worry about them as you're moving forward. Yeah. So, anybody played Boba Fett yet? Have you played him yet?
No, I've done a lot of like watching games online with him. I've read his cards 1,000 times on like tabletop, you know, Admiral. Unfortunately with X-Wing 2.0 dropping, like my time's usually spent just because no one knows what that game is yet. Like what's going to kind of bottom out as good stuff. So I try to get any game I can of that, and I've neglected Legion. But now that like all this new stuff's out, I want to play it again. Like we've got troopers for both sides now. You know, we've got three commander choices. Well, two commanders, one operative, and then three commander like choices. Like the game just got more interesting again for me.
Yep.
So I'm ready to just start playing again. I gotta get some games in this week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jeremy, you and I were talking about this earlier about how the snipers are kind of changing. I mean, they're changing everything.
Yeah, because the big thing you got now is with the objectives. You're in four. We'd play. We'd always like, I don't say always rush right in across the board, but you could comfortably come in on one side or another on a target and or an objective. Mm-hmm. And now with the snipers on both sides now, and you add it where there are ATRTs, you're holding back. You know, you can be like defend an area you're not even in. Like it's almost like where Vader will walk through and be like, all right, I can take this whole part of the board over. You can actually with two snipers and two ATRTs just hold an area down that you're not even in.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that I know. You know, we just as Empire players, we just got snipers last week, so I haven't really had a chance to play them. I'm not gonna upset my list for this weekend, but you know, that was something that was really hard to get accustomed to when the Rebels first started playing the snipers. Was, you know, like being like, oh, yeah, I forgot those guys are up there. Yeah. You know,
I think I like it because it makes vertical maps. Like before that, I didn't ever really see the benefit to ever be on top of anything, right? Like, I want to shoot on my own terms, but now you can throw a sniper on top of a building halfway across the map and you can know he's probably going to be okay as long as another sniper doesn't shoot him, right? You can just like take those free shots. So, like, that vertical movement and like grappling hooks feels like useful now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, it said all the climbing rules. I'm like, I never want to be on top of anything. Like, you're just like, you're right. Like, it's like free, you know, pinata up there just getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really interesting. And, you know, I think one of the things we were talking about too that I think a lot of people got to be careful of, and it's going to happen for us too when we put commandos. And I think I was telling you about Boba Fett. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Put them in, but just make sure you still play him a little bit reserved, because I think the tendency for new units is to is to get a little aggressive with them, because you're like, oh yeah, I got Boba Fett, I got snipers, I'm invincible.
A surge in defense.
That's right. Like, right? So you're just, you know, so I think, you know, for Saturday for you, I just watch.
Yeah, I know I'm going to get him killed. It's going to be like the first game too. And we're going to get like, just roll like five bad dice and just be like, he's garbage, you know, yeah. Like into the box with you.
But. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, by after the first match, we'll see Evan crying in the corner.
Play once, it's over, it's done.
Throwing his Boba Fett against the wall.
On the snipers, I've been playing two sets, and I'm actually thinking about going to a third set. Yeah. They were that good, even though you took out the one on that first shot after they bombarded. They're still just they're my style of play with the Rebel setup.
No, sure. I mean, with three suppression. Two, you can just be like, that guy might run. That guy might run, right? That's that's really great.
Well, so Jeremy, speaking of your style of play, Jeremy is one of the few players that I'm sure any of you out there know, or that we know, that actually plays the T-47. So I'd like to get your
brave soul.
I'd like to get your your view on that, Jeremy. What do you think? How's it been working for you?
I'm learning how to play with different terrain. Now that we're getting back to the standard, I guess, at least in our area, of a little bit less terrain than we were playing.
Yeah, we were playing way too much for a while.
It makes it a lot easier for me to fly around. The one thing I don't like is I usually have to wait my first turn and not do anything, which is a lot of points.
Yep.
But then again, I can fly almost the entire length of the field on one set of turns if I want to. I took turn two against you and flew two-thirds of the board. Mm-hmm. And if I'd been thinking, I would have shot instead. But anyways, but the fact is, it's mobile. It's six dice on, and I play it with uplink now, which makes a big difference too.
That card really, I think, makes that ship like fun again.
Yeah,
so you can just always give it an order instead of having to wait and just let it get shot up by the time you get to pick it.
Well, and I know, like, you know, we were actually, if anybody listened last week, we interviewed Kyle from Never Tell Me the Odds, and like I asked him, okay. Like, I get it. Everybody says it sucks, but what is it that would make it better? And he said run two. Has that crossed your mind at all, run two?
I have two painted up. I don't know if I'm going to. I honestly planned on, before the snipers came out, when they do the 50-point commanders, running two of them.
Yeah.
The 50-point commander. And then now I'd like to do that with at least one sniper. I'd like to try it.
Oh, yeah. The generic commanders.
The generic commanders.
Yeah, I'm excited for those.
Yeah.
Plus those cards that come out anyway for those later are good, too. But, they're not good, but they're different. But I'd like to run two of them. The biggest thing is watching your terrain, and you have to plan out two moves ahead of time, even with your own guys more than your opponents.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hit your own people. You can't after, you know.
Yeah, the displacement, the base. Thank God they did that 45-degree rule. So, you know, you see your horror stories in the last cast, they're talking about it in your podcast. Like, you land on a barricade.
Yeah.
And you're like, guess I'm taking damage, right? Like, now you can at least, like, just put it there.
Yeah, at the 45-degree angle. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about this during the interview too. Like, for me, it just doesn't make sense because the whole game is so balanced and everything. Like, I know, like, you know, Veers and Bikes and Wonder Twins are winning, but I think that's going to change coming up. We saw that Vader's list take at Nova, like, I think it was third or second place or whatever it was. But you're starting to see some more options out there, and it just doesn't make any sense to me with everything being so balanced that why that T-47 just stinks right now.
It just doesn't perform.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I learned 2 weeks ago playing, and it's happened repetitively now, is that if it's not the long march and I can sit up across from you, I can actually go compulsory move because of the base size, compulsory move, set the base, and I can fire both weapons. Because I'm in a turn at the process, and I can get you in my arcs on both sides.
Yeah.
So
you play the ground buzzer on it?
Yes. So I can actually get 10 dice off on that thing on turn one if I want.
You play wedge too, right?
No, took wedge out for comlink.
Okay.
But as I'm turning...
HQ uplink.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, that's good. I've always felt like the one time I ever played it, the first damage I took was disabled weapon, and I didn't have a back weapon on it. And so I'm like,
always play it just because.
No, really. So at least you have a gun. I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Because four black dice are still not that bad.
Fly off the
On a flying target, very mobile, still four black dice isn't that bad.
It's a suppression, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you just get a couple hits in there, right? Like that's.
Yeah, it's just so.
And I go for troopers. That's the other thing. I don't go for commanders usually. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm taking out units.
Yeah.
Because if I'm playing rebels, I've got enough guys to take, I'll out-activate you. So I need to get rid of the guys who can pick up and do the actual activations on the board as far as the objectives go.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
How many activations you running now?
I'm running 10. I had up to, well, I had a bad 12, but I got a solid 10 now.
Yeah, I played that 12 list, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, it was weak in spots, but I found that it was annoying when, depending on how the order went, you'd be sitting there for basically four activations, sometimes going, oh, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? Like I had, I think I had 7 or 8 yep. at the time. And you're just that is mentally daunting too. And it kind of brings you down a little bit while you're playing it. Cause you're like, oh God, like every one of my activations counts even more than it did before now, because I know a 10, 11, 12 list is going to have that many more behind me to kind of figure out what they're going to do.
So if you think that's bad, quick side note on when I went to play a Conflict 47, which is a version of Bolt Action, and it's really what I think influenced a lot of how Legion plays, because a lot of the same thing where you put random things in a bag. So I had 8 activations, and I'm like, that's a lot for like Legion, right? That's about average.
Yeah.
And I go to the game, and there's two guys that set up all the stuff, and one guy is 18, one guy is 16, and you put all of your dice in a bag together, and then you shake it up, and you draw to see whose dice comes out to activate. So I put in my 8. And they put in 16 and 18, and I'm like, so there was like an hour sometimes where I didn't get to play, because it'd be like another German trooper, another British trooper, and I'm like, oh yeah. So if you think like 4 activations is bad, imagine just like watching like a game play out that you're in, but you're not. You're not.
That it's tough though. I mean, I think, I don't know. I go back and forth, and we've talked about it before. I the activations and how important they are. And I guess I would caution that before I was all on it, right? I was like, yeah, activations, that's important. But now I'm reserved back a little bit. Like, they're important, but I think they have to be the right activations and the right troops. And I think with the commando snipers now and the scout snipers, we'll be able to push that and have good units in with those activations.
See, I pick out my cornerstones of what I want for my list, and then I fill in with whatever makes sense, and that's how many activations it ends up being. Like, because like my 2 ATRTs, my Luke, always Luke, and then Leia maybe, usually, and then troopers, and just fill it in however it makes sense.
I think when you were playing 7, you were at a disadvantage, period. I think you got to have between 8 and 10, depending on whether you're...
I think 7 is really low.
Yeah, 7 is too low.
Yeah, I was pushing it with 7. But that was, when we talked about this, like, we're still trying to figure out my list, and I was like, do I want an AT-ST? Do I want these speeder bikes? And I, for some reason, the way my play style just didn't really fit to any of the, like, any of those, units. And I don't know, I feel really comfortable with the army I have now. With just, it's all troopers, with Vader and Veers. And I really like it. It's a really good list.
Well, if you go back to what little we did play Warhammer there for a couple of years, I played the lizard guys and had the big stuff, or the dwarves and I had a lot of big stuff. But when we played against you and you taught us how to play, you were using just archers and line guys, you weren't having any big units like you could have, the big Phoenixes for the Elves. You didn't have any of that stuff. You were just using basics.
So he's referencing, we were playing 8th edition fantasy.
Okay.
I had, one of my favorite armies with that has always been Orcs and Goblins. And just because I just love the randomness.
Darkmoon Clan? I don't think that was the name. But.
Yeah, the Night Goblins and stuff. Yeah, where they would pop the other ones that would spin around.
And field like 100 of them for like 20 points or something.
Yeah, but, well, that's, that's why I love Legion so much, is because, I came from that world where I have like 6 or 7 fantasy armies, and it's like, oh, for God's sakes, I got to get this unit, and I got to paint up 50 miniatures and, And with Legion, it's like, I
get 5.
Maybe 6, if pushing it. I loved Orcs and Goblins just because of the randomness, and you had to roll before you could even move. And my God, I loved all that stuff. And sometimes they'd fight each other, which I thought was hilarious, even though, it would cost me games. But for the most part, it was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I it's interesting. And I think... I think that's the good thing about, well, any game really, but with Legion in particular, I think you can build. I think if the army works for your play style, and if you're comfortable with it, I think you have a solid chance of performing, no matter what, and that's a testament to Fantasy Flight and how they designed the game. Is X-Wing like that?
Oh, very much so. You know, I've flown what's considered meta, and I really didn't like it, and I did poorly with it. Then I fly, like, what's, I'm just comfortable, and I really like the ship, and I know, like, you can eyeball the movement template, mm-hmm. so it's always fly what you know, fly what you like, and if it happens to be good, cool, and if it doesn't, well, you know, it's a game, all right? Like, I mean, like, it used to be everyone loved, you know, Boba Fett Slave 1,
yep.
right? And then 1.0, he was pretty not great. He was a lot of points, and then there's just other stuff that did it better for cheaper. But now he's, like, top ship in 2.0. He's pretty good.
And then I heard the X-Wings are doing really well, too.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, you know, it's funny because they're supposed to be space superiority fighters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're the Empire doesn't use them because they're just too expensive, right? So that's why the Rebels use them. And in 1.0, if someone put Luke Skywalker down, you're like, oh, free lunch. This guy's toast. Like, a sucker, right? He's playing, like, a trench run list. You're like, oh, thanks for coming to the tournament, buddy. You know, now you see, like, a trench run list. And it may not be, like, again, top echelon, but you're like, oh, crap. Because Luke Skywalker's just a monster. Mm-hmm. But in that same sense, like, the reason why I like Legion and X-Wing, like, now, well, 2.0 X-Wing is, like, Vader, Luke, Han Solo, all the big guys. When it used to be, you put them down, you're like, nah, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. Now you're just like, oh, God, it's Vader. And when in Legion, Vader comes up to you, you're like, uh-oh. You know, like, it's, you don't feel like he's a nobody, right? You're like, I have to deal with that. So
yeah, and within Legion, all the main characters, you have to account. You need to know their abilities.
Yeah.
It's like in Magic, you need to know the cards in a current environment or in a meta, you know, and with the commanders and the operatives, because we get used to the troops, general troopers, mm-hmm. but you need to know everything they got at all times, even if you're not playing them.
Yeah.
Because you may be playing against them, like I'm playing Rebels once in a while next to me, but most of the time we play Imperial over there.
Yeah.
That's who we play against. And okay, I'm used to Vader's skills, I'm used to Veers, I'm going to learn Boba, but I have to remember Han over here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know all of them. You got to remember. It's got to be like, I got to remember, not look at the card.
No, yeah. I just like how the name characters are just like so good. Yep. Like, you should be afraid of Vader. You should be afraid of these characters.
Well, and I think, you know, we've mentioned this before, and I'll just say it again, but I think they've got just the feel of everything down too in this game. Like, Vader feels like Vader. Luke feels like Luke. Like, nothing feels out of place or off, you know, off topic, I guess is the best word I can come up with right now for Star Wars. Like, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense in the world that they've established for Star Wars, which I think is, that's hard to do when you're designing a game.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
You know, and to take in all this other kind of ideas and thoughts and mythology that's already been built up years and years and years and make you feel in the game and in the miniature that this is Vader, like this is what he does.
And that's where your relentless ability from Vader comes from.
Yeah.
Your enrage from Chewie's gonna come from, your bounty from Boba.
Yeah.
They may be abilities that are only on these figures, period. Or maybe you'll only see him again in Clone Wars or
that's
in a different cool. In a different group, but you're not gonna see him again in this whole setup.
You know? You're right. And that makes total sense for the unit, right? Because it's like no one else is Boba. I mean, maybe Jango, but he'll have some different stuff. But like no one else is Boba Fett, right?
Yeah.
He is who he is.
Even the rest of bounty hunters aren't going to get the bounty ability. I don't think if you had IG-88 out there, you're not going to be doing it. Or Dengar, you're not, you know.
I mean, that would be really interesting, though, because there's that, I don't know if anybody's seen it out there. I know these guys have seen it, but these guys put together a Magic the Gathering cube that's all Star Wars. So it's Star Wars themed.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you. I have it all printed. Yeah. But like, it's amazing. And the synergies in it. And like, so what I'm thinking about is like with the bounty hunters, they got that bounty synergy where like, so maybe you could have a bunch of bounty hunters that all have bounty on them in Legion, you know? Yeah. So then you're picking up that token and taking it for a victory point, you know?
I finally found a use for those two tokens they gave you that have the, from the first store kit, the gold and the silver.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just use them for those bounty tokens.
A really good idea.
I don't know what else you're going to do with them. I mean, they're cool, but like...
Nothing right now.
Yeah, like maybe when there's more.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know. So basically, if you play in a tournament, one of the store kits for the winners have these gold and silver commander order tokens. Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know... It's just a collector's item. It's not really a playable piece right now, anyway.
Right now.
Yeah.
They release more and more.
But they're like, but you can feel them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I guess like,
yeah. True.
Yeah. Right. So you couldn't even blind pick them.
Yeah. So you just got to lay them out and like shuffle them around. Then you're that guy who's like, look at my full silver, you know, like, well, it's like in X-Wing when people open up their movement templates and they have all worlds.
Yeah.
And like regional championship, world championship, and I've got like cardboard. I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to be fun, I guess. Like, I see someone with all these like, you know, gold, you know, like icons for their guys. Like, yeah, I play once in a while, you know, alt art, everything. You're like, okay,
yeah.
Well,
all acrylic. Custom
yeah, but dice. How satisfying is it when you beat somebody with just your cardboard?
It is very satisfying, yes. By the way, but well, there's an intimidation factor.
You're well, like, isn't your style anyway? So I'm just going to dump my army onto the table.
We need a Star Wars themed slot bucket for when I actually go to like these tournaments. Oh, hey, that's a great painted army. Mine's not. Just dump it down. Like, here's my army. Thanks for the game. Slop right back in. Until they, I really admire the painting skill people have. And I'm always impressed to see what people put on the table.
Yeah.
So when I don't paint my guys, it's not because I don't want to. It's more of I'm not immediately amazing at it. So the character flaw in me is like, well, then I guess I'm just not going to paint them. And until FFG like releases like a Warhammer, like these have to be table ready. Yeah. Like you need three colors. Come on, man, get with it. You know, like at least something like that. Then I'll like actively try. But I just like, you know, so even my ATS team just like slop down the table and like put them up as, you know, like I don't care. Like it's because it's so, the thing about them too is that they're nice soft plastic. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about like the fine detail like snapping off. And no, they did like, I mean, not to get too off topic on how quality of miniature, but like they're good. And mine's gotten knocked around a little bit. A, from like Cat knocked my whole thing off on the, you know, floor. Yeah. And then like, you know, people drop them when they're looking at them. Yeah. And things just fall on the floor when you're at tournaments. Like, but like I'm kind of callous when I'm throwing them around. But like, and they're cheap enough that like if I break a trooper, it's only $25 for a box instead of like 80. I don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like it's like a paycheck investment where I got to plan out this purchase. If I need another Marine, I'm just like, oh, all right, well, you got any more troopers, you know, like, so.
Yeah. Also, I agree with you too. Like, I think, you know, part of it is, I always felt like with Warhammer, like I know a lot of people use like the battle foam stuff.
Yeah.
But I was always nervous about that. Cause I always listen, I'm like you, I'm pretty aggressive with my miniatures. So like, I'm not like, oh, let's unwrap this guy out of his bubble wrap. Yeah. You know, I'm like, yank, you know? And so, you know, so I would have like, you know, swords coming off and pieces coming off stuck in the battle foam. And I'm like, oh, bummer, you know?
I feel like foam's broken more of my stuff than it's protected. Like,
yeah.
Like, especially like I started playing Thousand Suns and Zangors, and they've got like feathers and little bird arms and little like toothpicks they're holding. And every time I pull one out, I see another like art sword stuck in the foam, and I'm like, I'm just like, so I'm just kind of like
a piece of you dies inside.
Yeah, I just kind of dump them out now. I'm like, whatever. It's.
I think you, at least for me with miniatures as far as painting goes, is I've gotten a little bit of painting. I'm not like super great at it. Jay's better than I am, but I've learned to do the terrain on them better than I used to, and each item will speak to me. And like, so I didn't paint. If you look, my lay is still not done. Okay.
Says this guy's awesome. You know, Texas, not Texas, Las Vegas Open, that they requested you bring two barricades.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because last time they just, how FFG normally did it is they just set the board up and you just played on it. There was no like extra.
Yeah, I think that from what I've seen, the Las Vegas Open stuff for the terrain is going to be incredible. Like, I'm really excited. By the way, we're going to that for anybody listening. We'll be at Las Vegas Open. I'm really, really excited to see how that turns out. I think it's going to be pretty great. And I just read too that they upgraded it to a maximum firepower as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's going to be really awesome.
Another chance for Adepticon.
Yep. That's it. So, you heard anything about PAX Unplugged? What are they doing for Legion?
I know it's going to be a maximum firepower, but I don't. They haven't put the schedule up for So that's. I want to buy a ticket. If you're listening, PAX, I want to buy a ticket, but like I need a schedule.
Yeah, they're listening. They told me.
I need a schedule because I'm not buying a ticket unless I can figure out when I'm actually going to be playing any of these games.
Yeah. Right.
So that's my thing. I know a couple of the guys at Nova were talking about it, that Legion's going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, how many weeks out are we from it?
So it's the end of November.
Yeah, end of November. So we got sometimes like under 50 days or so or something like that.
By the way, for anybody listening, we'll be at PAX Unplugged as well, so if you want to come say hi, we'll be wandering around.
They'll be there. So, and PAX is you know, it's a short drive for us too. It's like 4 hours.
4 hours,
it's like not bad.
So my question is, why does it matter when the events are if you know you're going to play them?
So I want to play X-Wing and Legion.
Uh-huh.
And if they're on the same day, I can't.
Uh-huh.
Because they're all day. So I got to pick one. Whereas I could just say, like, or... So let's say it's on a Sunday. Let's say Legion's on Sunday and I'm leaving Sunday. Like, okay. So I won't sign up for... I won't pay $30 to play... You know what I'm saying? Like, I just... Like, I need to schedule out my time at these cons because I go there to play these games. I don't really go there to enjoy a con.
But that's going to stop you from going altogether?
Well, if... I'll probably go for one, but I don't want to go hoping to play another one. Like, I like to know what I'm doing. I like to schedule stuff out. That's all.
So are you saying that you... So instead of playing 2 days in a row, you play one day, and then the second day you'd like to go look around and check out the con?
It can be. So I usually lose tournaments. So I'm not really worried about having time to look around.
Most
that's not,
people do other than the winner.
Yeah, it's not going to be... I'm not looking to win them, but like... like,
you ain't
again,
first, you last, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, well, jeez. So it's like, let's say... well, then it changes my... So usually Sunday, when I went to PAX last time, we left in the morning. Right, we plan to leave, and then, but if they're doing the maximum firepower on Sunday, I got to change my travel plans. Not that it matters a whole lot, but I just like to know when everything is. Because let's say they do there's a drop mix tournament. I don't know if any drop mix.
Go ahead and explain that to
everybody. All right. So, so Hasbro and Harmonix, the guys who did Rock Band,
yes,
made a digital card. Well, it's a physical card game that you lay it out and you put a tablet on, and it mixes the music, and you're playing to take over the board. They're doing a drop mix tournament that day. I'd like to get in on that action because that's awesome.
Yeah.
Drop mix is a blast, but maybe there's other tournaments I want to jump in. I just like to schedule my time because if X-Wing is my primary normally, but if it's on something like if it's going to interfere with three other games I could be playing, then Legion's another day, I might not just go for X-Wing, just do a Legion and some other stuff. Like, I want to see what's going on. Or like,
he's a busy man.
I still don't understand why that stops you from buying a ticket.
How dare you?
Well, if. I guess. That's true. But
dang, you got him, bro. You burnt him.
Well, maybe if I guess I'm trying to think of a scenario where it would stop me from buying one.
Don't worry, we got a lot
of
time.
If both
games
are playing on Sunday, you got to work Monday.
Just take your time. Let's eat up the time on this podcast.
I guess.
Just take all the time you want.
I don't know. I guess it's just a preference thing. If I like buying my ticket and getting my schedule made so I can plan for it at one shot. I guess that's my. I don't really have another rational explanation for it, but I guess.
Hey man, it's you. It's what you want.
I know, but he made a good point, and I'm like, I'm not like. Damn so it. I'm not. I don't want to take away his point, but I'm like, why don't I just buy a ticket now that I'm like talking about? So
well, you plan your days off depending on
You said didn't make sense to me, so it's just like
right. Yeah. Well, and when we went to Gen Con, that was really tough, you know, because we weren't playing in any tournaments. We were doing some other stuff there, but like. Yeah, we wanted to go see the convention and like walk around, but we already had commitments to the playtest group and stuff. So we were doing that, and it was tough for us, you know, because it was like by the time you're done, you know, doing a tournament or doing a playtest group or whatever you're doing, it's like you're exhausted and you're like, oh my God, I just want to go get some food and go to bed now. Like I'm over this.
Yeah.
And it sucks because you have this huge convention of just all kinds of gaming wonders that you want to go see, you know, which pretty interesting, you know.
That's why, like with Magic and stuff, when I used to play that, I enjoyed the fact that they were not at the cons because it was like, I'm going to play this for a weekend. And if I dropped out of one, I could play another tournament on Sunday or play Limited or whatever. But you're still only playing Magic versus I'm going and I want to be drawn other places.
Yeah, I guess the problem with that comes up like what you were mentioning where, you know, if it is just a gaming convention and there isn't anything else really going on, if you get a buy or if you get beat bad early on, like, what are you going to do till the next day type of thing? You know?
Because a lot of like FFG stuff, they normally don't run side events until day two. Mm-hmm. So you show up, you can do like different events. So like if you lose like out on day one, they're just like, all right, see you later. Like, buy some of our other stuff. You know, like, how about you get the Legion while you're here? You know, like,
that seems smart.
Brilliant. Yeah, no,
that's brilliant.
But at a con, like, you get a buy, you're like, jackpot. All right, like, I got an hour and a half to get around. But no, like, I don't know. At first, FFG made it a thing. Well, because let me back up even more. Cascade Games runs FFG's tournament scene, like their mobile tournaments.
Okay.
And so the first year they did them, they started doing the opens 2 years ago, and they did them just at event centers. And so Syracuse had the Naboo Open, and they had the biggest turnout prior to the Hoth Open in Europe. But they only did one in Europe, so either you went to that one or there wasn't. That was it kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So that was cool. But when you're playing, like if you had downtime or game ended early, because sometimes X-Wing gets real over real quick, and then you're just like, you know, you just what do you do? So their argument for doing it at a con, because it the people objected to the con thing, because like, well, I got to pay if I'm just going to play X-Wing. Like that's what I did at PAX last year. I knew PAX was going to be a big thing, but I didn't really think about it too much. I'm just like, oh, X-Wing open, another shot to get an invite to the World Championship. Yeah, I'll do it. Like you pay $65 to get in the door, and then it's another $30 on top of that. So I'm $95 just to play one game that I may get knocked out of, because how X-Wing does it now in the tournament scene is if you go 0-2 in the first three rounds, you're out. That's it. Which it stinks on one end because I paid to play X-Wing. But on the other end, you don't feel like locked in.
Right.
But so you're just out. And normally you just go home, I guess. You know, but let's say you traveled. Let's say you're from like, you know, California going mm-hmm. to PAX Unplugged. Like I met a gentleman who did last year. He did well, luckily. But like if he had lost those two and he's just there to play X-Wing, he's like, oh, okay. You know, right? Like right. I paid all this money.
I'm here till Monday.
Yeah, like hotel, mm-hmm. flight. I know it's a risk. It's a game and you're more or less gambling, right? You're throwing dice, hoping for odds you like. Yeah. But that can really stink. But on the flip side, hey, you're at a con, right? Like mm-hmm. that's all right. I'll go to this. I got to meet the guys that Shut Up and Sit Down last year because I lost, and then they happened to have panels looking at the thing, and I got in line like top 10. So I got an extra long like conversation with them, which was cool. Before they realized they ran out of time, they're just speeding through people. I had them sign Max Wing Matt. Like it was really cool. So it's at first I didn't like having to pay all because I went to a lot of X Wing tournaments last year, so I'm paying all this additional money just to get in.
Yeah.
But now, like, I kind of see it as a benefit. So they said they're going to mix it up this year. They're trying to get just more, mm-hmm. just do more rounds. So it's not like, because if you were in, like, Maine, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get the play, period. Like, so I'm hoping they do that. So they're running the Legion, I believe, this year, too, cool. I think.
I thought they ran everything FFG.
I think so. Because I know they do, like, the L5R and everything, so you'll always see X-Wing, you'll always see Legion of the X-Wing together, I think they're trying to do that same.
I'm hoping Keyforge is out for it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh yeah, they might.
There's a good chance it'll be out.
Man, if only they had a schedule, we could see if they had a Keyforge tournament going
maybe
on.
That's why they don't have a schedule. Maybe they don't want to announce that.
The Keyforge linchpin is just holding it up like but that'd be, dude, I'd love a Keyforge, because you just buy a deck and you're like, you don't have one yet, you're like, all right, I'm in.
Let's. Yeah, they would probably all just be sealed deck events where you just go and buy a deck, spend your $10,
even if they said $20 to get in, and then they give you a deck out of the deal, I'd be in. Are you kidding me?
Sweet promos.
Yeah, just totally. Yeah, 100%.
Would you just be tokens because they can't actually give you cards?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that. Maybe custom sleeves or life count, like, or amber counters or something. Cool. Like
FFG has never done sleeves. I mean, they make sleeves, but they never
have done like. Now, that's true.
Isn't the game supposed to be downloadable so you can play it online eventually? Is that to keep the plan?
So I'm pretty sure Richard Garfield was not supposed to say that because it sounds like something they want to do, but something they don't have plans to do yet. Mm-hmm. But the game definitely translates into digital really
easily. Exactly. So what I would think is you're going to get stuff for online. So you're going to get stuff to the road. You know what I mean?
Down the road. I mean, like we're talking like a year from now.
Good, good examples. I beta tested an MTG Arena, and I got a code yesterday for 3 Mythic Planeswalkers, which are from the full art ones.
That's cool.
They're active, and now I get them in playing with them. So as a digital thing.
They're actually giving out codes in random booster packs.
Too. Yeah, 2. I know. 1 in 8 or something.
No. And the pre-release, they gave you a code in each pre-release pack for a sealed deck entry online.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
I loved it. I've been playing a crap. We went home from what Jay and I were doing this weekend, and on Saturday night, I was pretty beat from doing the con kind of thing we did. Yeah. But anyways, more of a toy fair. But anyway, I got home and I did my pre-release then, and I went 7-2 and actually got all the packs, and then I got my money back, my gems back.
That's awesome.
Because when I beta tested that, I actually put about $300 into that.
Because
my wife watches this, she'll be real happy. But, Mindy, that's what I did. So anyway, I went ahead and bought some packs and built some Type 2 decks already. So
that's awesome. All right, well, let's wrap it up. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about real quick?
Well, sure. Speaking of Magic, but this is a kind of a long one.
Go for it. Yeah. Whatever. Hey, it's going to be long, everybody. So if you're listening and you're tired,
pause it
and come back. No, I'm not chopping nothing. You go ahead and you talk.
So about 2 weeks ago, and recording this on October 1st, so was the Magic World Championship, and one of the big things that came, the biggest thing that came out of it was that Jerry Thompson, a pro player, actually sat out of the tournament. He boycotted it. And we're not just saying he just didn't go. He actually went to Vegas, which is where the tournament was, and he decided the day before, it's just like, I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to sit on this. And the reasons why is because he was upset with the support that Wizards gives to their pro players. He feels that they don't support the players enough. They don't highlight the players enough to get them sponsorships, and that he wants changes made so that the dream that Magic is really selling, that Wizards is selling, that you can play Magic as a living, be more of a reality.
Now, okay, so like an esport, take Capcom World Tour, where they do a Street Fighter, where if you win, like, they'll sponsor you to go around. Okay.
And then this made me think of another thing that was a bit more relevant to what we're talking about here. But what do you think about Wizards and their support and the fact that they sell the dream?
Yeah, you know, so I'll take Tekken, for example. I love fighting games, and the dream is getting good enough to get sponsored and just play Tekken all exactly, the time, right? Like, and you can actually... you know, when you watch a Tekken match online, or you watch a stream, or you're watching Evo once a year, huge tournament, everyone goes, plays all these games, you know these people, right? Like, I couldn't tell you, besides Brian Keebler, and he hasn't played Magic in
like 3 or 4 years.
Money. Yeah. And like, he's a guy who I don't really, you know, it's interesting, like, Hearthstone's a game I like to play once in a while. I don't care about the player so much, but when he's just talking about him playing cards, like, I like his mentality of like how he's, I chose this card because it does this. I think this is a good matchup against this. And you can use a lot of what he's saying for anything. But for like Tekken, like, I see these guys, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, low kick, he's really good. Oh, it's Little Majin, he did this, you know, he was the first American to make top 8 in Tekken in like 5 years. And he did it with like a B tier character. Like, you see these characters, you get these great stories, but I couldn't name you a Magic player.
You know, and the big thing is sponsorship. They won't. Yeah. This is a whole nother topic, but is Magic not letting you have sponsors? And
I don't know if it's they're not letting you. It's that their coverage is so poor.
Who would want a sponsor?
Exactly. Yeah, who would want a sponsor?
You also, there was a time, I'm for personal experience, I'm telling you, there was a time, I don't know how it is in the last 5 years for sure, but there was a time where you could not be sponsored. You were not allowed to have a corporate sponsorship until they did a team event, series.
Well, and I would say, okay, so just as the state of gaming in general, right, there's only a few top tier gaming companies, right, that have the money that could actually sponsor someone. So the question is, you need to get enough people listening or watching so that someone who's just like, I'm going to just say something stupid here, but like Rubbermaid, for instance, you know, like with race car driving, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you wanted Rubbermaid to sponsor John Smith, the Magic player, well, you have to have from a marketing perspective, if I was going to give you that marketing money to do that, you have to show me the numbers that is going to affect.
Which is coverage. And you're right. Yeah. Where coverage has got to be
coverage, and that better. The Wizards does not highlight players. And players are the ones who are going to be wearing logos and everything like that.
Right. Where, like, even like, you know, we were talking before the podcast, you know, Evan and I are into UFC and we love that stuff. But that's what, like, UFC does, right? Like, even if it's like Conor McGregor, like, you know that name?
Yeah.
Like, people who don't even know sports UFC teams know that name.
Yeah. Even sports teams now have sponsors on their uniforms. I mean, come on now. Yeah. NBA's got sponsors on their uniforms.
Well, and that's another. NBA is a perfect example of player before team, right? So you know the player, and then so then you want a sponsor because it's a name recognition type thing. And you're right. I think it's a name. It's a name thing. How do you promote gamers who are good at this game? Who, you know, and this applies for Legion too, or any game where you want to get it big enough. How do you promote those individual players to a point where, whether it's paid, but, you know, even if they're not paying them, but they need to promote them to a place where they can get a sponsorship, where they can get paid through another contract.
And then it becomes a cycle of more people want to play, more people fund the game, you make more money. It's just like...
Well, yeah, totally. Because if I, you know, if somebody told me today, like, hey, like, let's use Nicholas Freeman, for example, he plays Legion and he's pretty big. He does Impact X and stuff. So let's use him as an example, right? Like, if somebody told me, like, did you hear he made like $70,000 this year just playing Legion? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be like, I'm going to start taking this way more serious.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I remember a long time ago they used to show Magic on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I remember watching, this could be like my brain not, you know, no, remembering ESPN something too. Incorrectly, mm-hmm. but I remember seeing, you
ESPN,
know,
the Ocho,
the Ocho, the joke card chaos confetti
yep.
from Unglued. I saw that on ESPN when the guy ripped up and threw it.
He ripped up chaos or
he ripped up
actual chaos orb.
Chaos orb yep. And threw it. And that's like, you know, a judge came over and it was like this thing. And I think I remember seeing, because I was shocked when I saw a guy rip up a magic card on like TV.
Yeah, like $100 magic card.
Yeah, and do that. So, you know, it's, and that's when like they did like bank money, right? Like, well, I mean, like they'd have like, oh, it's a $50,000 tournament.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because like Magic's the only card game that can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
The game Warhammer Champions is doing cash tournaments. That's one of the things they've announced. And I was kind of worried about that because I'm like, well, there's only one game I know that can do money tournaments, and that's Magic.
Yeah.
Yep. But you have to do money tournaments in order to get yourself to the level of Magic.
To even keep doing it, yeah.
To attract the kind of players that Magic attracts because of the money.
You know, like with X-Wing, there's named players. I could name you the top world players, and they get on podcasts, and I know them by name. They know me by name. They get an article on FFG once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get paid to do anything. You know, they get like cool looking dice that they can sell for $100. You know, like, exactly. But it's not like they're not like, but like you're saying, they're not like, they get a sponsor, they get at least a article on Fantasy Flight's website, like, hey, this is Paul Heaver talking about why 2.0 is really cool. And like, oh, Paul Heaver, he's a really good player. Like,
2-time world champion.
Yeah. And then like, you know, we're like, I could, again, like, I don't keep up on Magic's particular news feed, but I read a lot of gaming news. You know, I get from feeds and different things. I've noticed like Magic's like a new set's coming out.
They keep it like sort of self-contained. It's just like Magic is for Magic players.
Yeah, I couldn't name you anybody who plays Magic.
Well, and here's
a
good one too, Matt, with the Pokemon World Championships. I follow that too. I don't know if I assume you have at least at some point.
I was at one point.
Okay, yeah, and you have the DS version and the card game version going at the same time with three tiers on each.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's one giant Pokemon thing, and it's like, I would like to, just the way it's shown.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to show up and see this, and you know, in person, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, being, you know, we're technically in the industry, right? I think it's not just the manufacturer's problem, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's an industry problem too, from a media perspective. Like, sure, there's a bunch of us podcasters out there that are covering stuff, and podcasting's getting bigger, but really, in order to attract the numbers that you would need to attract to put out the money that they would need to, I mean, you got to get big name companies that are outside of gaming sponsoring these people. But like we just said, like race cars, but in order to do that, for anyone to care, they have to see the blip on the radar that makes sense to their audience.
No, that's good. That's good.
Now the flip side to this is Magic sells the dream, because every time they highlight a pro player during their tournaments, they show their lifetime earnings, which someone was like $300,000. But they don't also say, well, this is $300,000 over 15 years and it doesn't include travel time and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, they sell it like it's a dream, like you can make a living, but it's not reality.
Right. It's like that thing, like at the end of the lifetime of your child, you've spent over $1 million to support your child, but they don't tell you that your kid lived in your basement till he was 32. Well,
and the last thing I got with this is they added two more pro tours. There's six now in a year instead of four. And then they want to cut down the number of players by 25% to 30% roughly at each tour event. So now, even if you bust your hump to get there, not even gonna get 300. You used to be able to get on and get on the train, the train for a year. Once you got on, either it's gold, silver, platinum, you'd be on for a year. Okay, once you got to your status and whatever that gave you, whether it was room, lodging, whatever. Now it's by every 6 months, and then some people are every quarter, and it's all different now because they want to put six pro tours. And that's where Jerry was coming from. Like, you needed. They actually have a, and I'm not sure who this is out there right now, but a person like us built a list to figure out how a person qualifies, because Wizards doesn't even have a list to give to the pros to say, this is how you qualify.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
And I think, you know, honestly, and, you know, Nick and I know this firsthand from going to Gen Con and stuff, is that the game market is so saturated right now. Like, even though Magic's the biggest game out there, like, we get that, right? But like, it's so saturated that I think to give Magic, you know, and Wizards some credit here, is that even trying to get that viewership level is going to be difficult because our attention spans are all over the place as far as gaming goes. I mean, you know, look at Legion right now. You know, it's blowing up and it's doing really well, but it may not last forever because people's attention will stray.
Especially because FFG keeps releasing games.
Yeah.
It steals from their own player base.
Yeah.
No, it's...
They all do. And I mean, but you have to do that as a business to survive, you know? And I mean, all the big guys are doing that. Cool Mini, like everybody.
Even Magic is doing it, but they're doing it within Magic. They release so much product. They're
saturating their own market.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what killed WizKids. Like I loved Mech Clicks and I loved Mage Knight Dungeon and Mage Knight.
I was a sponsor, first person that came in kind of thing for that.
And then I got so much, and I was mowing lawns to buy it, right? And then I just couldn't keep up.
I got cases for free.
Yeah,
not enough lawns in the world.
But like, I just couldn't keep up with buying it all. Yeah. And eventually look at HeroClix now.
Yep.
I couldn't tell you what the last set was. Like,
no, well, yeah, they released so many little tiny things.
Micro sets that they do. Or same thing happens with kids with the Dice Masters. Did you ever get into that?
Yes.
Yeah, I love Dice Masters.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was $1 a pack, right? Yeah, and you got like three cards, some dice.
I think I remember playing that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was the one in the group that bought it all.
Yeah, and then I liked all the expansions. You could mix them all for like casual play, but like, I walk into comics and there's like 20 sets on the wall, right? And I'm like, I'm done. Like, I can't buy it all.
Yeah, and the problem is there's only so many of us die. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go into a little bit of business marketing 101 here. The saturation level on gaming for the audience, the built-in audience that they have, is at a tipping point because there's so many games out there. Our attention span is driven in so many different ways. But what they see is the amount of money we're willing to spend is higher than what most product is, right? So we're willing to invest money into this. But then the problem is they go, oh my God, we're making all this money. Let's put out some more products. And then what they do is they hit the tipping point of their audience. And so instead of backing it up and you know, some companies are doing this, which is fine, and trying to make a game for a broader audience. So like, you know, the guy that works at your office who doesn't know what you're talking about when you're talking about Legion or Magic, but you know, maybe he knows Ticket to Ride because it's at Target. You know what I mean? Like, they're not really, they're trying, but they're not succeeding in making a broader game for larger audiences. And I think maybe this is where, you know, Fantasy Flight, because they have Star Wars IP, right? Like, I think you're seeing guys, like, I know we met a guy or two in Rochester when we played our first tournament. Like, I don't think they played any other games. I think they were like, no, I don't really play games. I just love Star Wars. Yeah. That's why I'm here.
And one thing, too, is you only have so much time in a day. Like, if you go, Jake, come to my house, talk about the board games. I've got at least 100 of them I've never even opened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's me and Xbox One games. Okay,
so then where Magic, you can jam a game in 10 minutes or less if you're, you know, or you want to play. Where we were just talking about the other night when we were playing Legion is you're talking a minimum hour and a half to 3 hours. Yep. And you can't jam enough games. I can't get enough games. I'd love to, you know, take it and do 10 a day, and I can't.
Yeah, no, it's
so my
time's so divided.
This is where KeyForge comes in. Because KeyForge is, you don't need to follow a metagame. Yeah, you can be competitive. You can play it at every level for the same price of $10 for a deck.
No,
you can metagame by buying tons of decks and trying to find a powerful deck and yada yada yada. But you buy one deck, you can play competitively at any point. You can show up to any tournament after you haven't played for 4 or 5 months, and you don't need to know the metagame. You don't need to know what the powerful cards or anything like that. You can just play and be competitive.
Yeah, I think the key for them is going to be support, the proper support for that, prize, not just prize support, but tournament support and, you know, and community outreach, I think are going to be the two big things for that game. I think they have a real, real winner. This is one of
Richard
those.
Richard Garfield.
Well,
Robo Rally. Come on, there's one. I mean, I love the man and I've met him, but Robo Rallies, no.
Yeah. But I mean, they got the name, they've got a game that's easy to play. They've got all the ingredients, I think, to be truly, truly successful as a competitor against Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! And whatever other crap people are playing. And, you know, I think they have a real chance. But what they got to do is right from the gate, set up support for everything. Mm-hmm. And the community outreach has got to be there to a level where the everyone feels supported and it's accessible to everyone.
The one thing you got here where you have that I see, which is a positive for that, is that they already have the roads made because of all the other games they have.
Oh, so
the stores already have the stuff coming in, where you have other games that are they're harder to get their roads in because people don't want to like take a chance on this game. Where because it's FFG, they just they're already coming out with stuff. You're already ordering your kits for this pre-release. You're already ordering this new restock and everything else. So it's just going to slide right in and come right in. It's like D&D and Wizards, how D&D is just blown up with all the new miniatures and stuff that have come out with that because it's just on the same order form and just like, all right, blah, 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 here it is. It's not like...
Well, this was also the other side of the point I wanted to make about Cherry Thompson is Magic's trying to sell the dream. Like, we at this table and everyone I hear complains about the support that FFG gives, that it's not good enough. It's we need more. We need more money when we go to a tournament and travel and that. And whatnot, but FFG isn't trying to sell anything. Nope. They're trying to sell a good community, and here's some cool stuff if you attend, and you just have different levels of play, and it's really different levels of competitiveness. So you have game days at your local store for people who just want to show up. That goes into store championships, which are at fairly abundant. You might have to travel if you want to go to more than one of them, but you have one in the area. To regionals, which you might have one within an hour or two, but you generally have to travel, that goes right up into national championships and worlds, and it's just more and more competitive, and you're going for the competitiveness. And the prizes are just cool things that are kind of worth money, but aren't really worth money.
No, I mean, that's, you know, X-Wing, I've never had a problem with, like, besides this last Nova, I've never had a problem with prize support. They gave us you travel to get a 1.0 card, when 2.0 comes out the next 2 weeks. So I was there waiting, and everyone's like pumped because it was the Kylo Ren card, and I'm a first order player, so I'm waiting for my kit to come out. And I'm like, oh, guys, can't wait for that 2.0 Kylo Ren full art card. And they're like, it's 1.0 only. And I'm like, what? And so the guy was getting, he's like, excuse me, sir, would you like your 1.0 Kylo Ren? People are like, nah. You know, it's like, but that's the only time I've ever felt like, I'm like, wow, they really dropped the ball here. Because normally you go every month, you get a new kit for X-Wing. You get some cool art cards, full art stuff that you can't, no other company really does that, you know? Yeah. And again, like, I would love to be good at X-Wing and they made, you know, giant money, you know, like you go and you can win 50 grand for winning an X-Wing tournament. That'd be amazing. But I'm also just happy with, like, I go to a tournament, I get a card for showing up. And if I win the top tables, I get some cool templates, you know, like that's.
Yeah. And I guess to go back, like when I was saying like they need to support, that wasn't a knock against what they're doing now. I'm saying for Keyforge in particular, if it wants to be a competitor in the Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon area, you know, like when we go to a pre-release or when we go to like a Friday Night Magic and you win and you top four or whatever, you know, you're getting a couple packs, you're getting, you know, or the pre-release, you're getting the whole pre-release kit and all these packs and cards and stuff. So there's got to be a way, because the decks aren't really built that way. Like, how, what can you
see? I don't think FFG is going to care. I think they're going to treat it like their other games. I think if Keyforge is going to go to that level, it's going to be independent tournament series. And I think the game is going to be hopefully popular enough, but it's also easy enough. It's accessible enough that could definitely happen as long as people step up and host those tournaments.
They've already got the player base if they can convert them. Yep. Because like you're saying, you got downtime between games for X-Wing and you know. So if we can jam it into there, like Magic was originally designed to be in between D&D sessions or breaks in D&D, that's where Keyforge is going to go.
Keyforge is literally a pack of cards I keep in my bag. I don't
exactly. Basically, everyone will own a Keyforge.
I could bring like 8 players in my bag, right? And not have to worry about space.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And keep them right in with your minis games and just have it there. That's what I think the key is, a start at least.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to the council for joining us today. You can find us anywhere podcasts are found, and I mean anywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, we're everywhere. And you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. That's at Fifth Trooper. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast.